This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
A big day for the Republic as the president has decided to abolish for once and for all the Department of Education. This is big. This is a big win for the people, for the states, and for the children. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Now, a lot to get into. The attacks on the Tesla dealerships, the lunatic left melting down, destroying these products. I just heard Pika's Pizza's closing. That is such a bummer. They are wonderful people there. It's a wonderful family. It's a great place. Really great pizza. I am so sad to hear that. I absolutely love them and love their pizza. And that is it. That's heartbreaking to hear. So definitely, you know, patronize them until you can't. They're great people up there. Like I said, you know, it's important to, I think, when you think about patronizing people and supporting people who you like and like-minded people and like-minded causes and all those things, it really does matter. And so I just want to give a shout out again. Yesterday I was in Lowe's with my wife. We met David and Will, and David owns Stax Pancakes. Stax, it's a, not just pancakes, they have lunch too on Route 38 in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, the border of Morristown and Mount Laurel. And they came up to me. They said, hey, we're members of the Army. And it was so nice to meet them, and I appreciate it. And their little dog, Holly. And so go say hello and visit them. And he was telling me about the price of eggs. It's just insane, you know, what these restaurants have to do. So I think anytime we can support people that support us is a great thing to do. And certainly I appreciate you supporting our wonderful advertisers. And I appreciate you supporting the Travis Manning Foundation tomorrow. This is going to be a big day for us to raise money. All right, so you heard the president earlier in the show, but if you're just joining us, he signed an executive order today ending the Department of Education, and now Congress needs to act accordingly, and hopefully that they will. They will do so, and we can end this thing once and for all, return the power back to the states, back to the people. It's what needs to happen, absolutely 100%. When we don't like a product, we don't buy it. If we don't agree with the philosophy of another company, we, in many cases, will start our own company. There's a guest coming on later in the show today. She and her husband did just that. They're very pro-life. They believe in that cause. And so what they decided to do was to start their own baby care company. And I love that. And I think that's great. What we don't do is we don't destroy products. We don't burn down businesses. We don't damage people. We don't root for the destruction of American companies. We just make other choices. The equation of Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light is such a silly one, because I don't know of anyone who went out there and destroyed trucks delivering Bud Light. And it's hard to miss them since it says Bud Light all over the trucks. I don't know of anybody who slipped their tires, attacked the drivers, cursed at the drivers. I don't know about anybody that went into a bar that served Bud Light on draft and tried to set fire to it, or nothing. We just didn't. If you didn't want to drink Bud Light because you felt like I didn't want to give money to a company that hates me, you just drank something else. And then Bud Light learned their lesson. And then Bud Light got rid of the dude and then put in a real man by the name of Shane Gillis to be their spokesman. And he's doing a great job. He's funny. He's crushing it. I still don't drink Bud Light. I'm not a Bud Light guy. But nevertheless, I don't want to give my money to somebody, to a company that hates me. That's my thing. But I don't do boycotts, and I certainly don't go out there and cause violence and destruction. And that's the difference between us and the left and what they're doing right now with Tesla. Literally rooting for the destruction of an American company, rooting for this. Tim Walz, who the doofus, the Midwestern doofus, who could become vice president of the United States of America, rooting for this, rooting for the destruction of an American company. And this was a crowd in Wisconsin on Tuesday. Listen to him. This is pathetic. Cut number 12.
Thing on my phone. I don't know. Some of you know this on the iPhone. They've got that little stock app. I added Tesla to it to give me a little boost during the day. 225 and dropping. So. And if you own one, we're not blaming you. You can take dental floss and pull the Tesla thing off, you know, and take out, just telling you.
Yeah, well, just telling you. That was going to be the vice president of the United States of America. I mean, he had no chance, Tampon Tim. But that's what they're rooting for. Here's Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, all right, wants activists to give her a big birthday, special birthday gift. Cut 13.
Politicians. So I'll make sure that I keep it short, but I am truly here for very selfish reasons. Starting with on March 29th, it's my birthday. And all I want to see happen on my birthday is for Elon to be taken down. Yes. Listen, I have learned as I serve on the DOGE Oversight Committee that there is only one language that the people that are in charge understand right now. And that language is money. And so I've been so proud to see us organize behind a cause.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not organizing behind a cause. What they're doing is trying to destroy an American company and American products. You don't want to drive a Tesla? Don't drive a Tesla. You don't want to buy a Tesla? Don't buy a Tesla. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people that are actively rooting for the destruction of a company and causing violence and damage against this company. Here's Elon Musk talking about what's happening to the attacks on Tesla. And I want to remind you of something. Just like how I never called for a boycott of Anheuser-Busch, because there are a lot of people that work who have our values just because what they chose, what some corporate idiot decided to do by having Dylan Mulvaney be their spokesperson, which is crazy, stupid. And they hated us. And she came out and said that Alicia Schneider face, whatever. There are a lot of people that work at those companies that are good, decent people. So I'm not going to try to destroy them, destroy their jobs and destroy their livelihood. If I don't agree with the product, I'll make another choice. I'm not going to make a spectacle out of it. But they can't help themselves because they're all about making a spectacle of themselves. Here's Elon Musk, cut 16.
Our country. Yeah, I mean, it's really come as quite a shock to me that there is this level of hatred and violence from the left. I always thought the left, or the, you know, Democrats were supposed to be the party of empathy, the party of caring, and yet they're burning down cars, they're firebombing dealerships, they're firing bullets into the dealerships, they're just, you know, smashing up Teslas. Tesla is a peaceful company. We've never done anything harmful. I've never done anything harmful. I've only done productive things. So. I think we just have a deranged. There's some kind of mental illness thing going on here because this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too is that 5 minutes ago he was a hero for bringing the electric car to the people. Right? You don't want to buy a Tesla? Don't buy a Tesla. You want to sell your Tesla? Sell your Tesla. I don't really care. Do whatever you want. It's your life. But you have to destroy. Why does the left always have to destroy? I don't understand that. I don't get that mindset. I really don't, and it's dangerous. And then, of course, what you have here is you've got people who are cheering this on, these late-night fake comedians like Jimmy Kimmel, doubling down on this, playing clips of people attacking Teslas, arson attacks on Tesla, and then trying to make it funny. This is shameful. I mean, this is why Gutfeld's doing so well and why Fela's doing so well, because these guys are leftist hacks. Then they're not funny, and it's a joke. Cut 14.
Even beyond incidents of arson, someone lit a bunch of Teslas on fire And here's the thing. I get that people are upset. Burning a car might not be great for the environment. I don't think that's what they had in mind when they invented the electric car. In Las Vegas yesterday, someone threw a Molotov cocktail at a Tesla service center. At least five Teslas blew up, one from the Molotov and four because that's just what Teslas do sometimes. And no one should be setting fires. You could kill somebody. You could hurt somebody. Elon Musk might not care about other people, but decent Americans should. The world's richest man, Ikin, has been trying to drum up sympathy for himself lately. His sales are down. His stock is down. Last night, he was somber as he went through this with Sean Hannity.
Tesla is a peaceful company. We've never done anything awful. I've never done anything awful. I've only done productive things. So I think we just have a deranged... there's some kind of mental illness thing going on here, because this doesn't make any sense.
Well, let me see if I can explain it for you. When you pull out a chainsaw to celebrate firing thousands of people, they get mad. It's just a, you know, my God, I mean... This poor guy. You do one, maybe two Nazi salutes, everybody gets all bent out of shape. Donald Trump today had...
And so is that it? Is that they're setting fire because he did a Nazi salute? They're setting fire because he used a chainsaw at CPAC to talk about cutting the size of government and waste and fraud and abuse, and that justifies this? I mean, you realize you're justifying it, right? You're playing that little game of saying don't do it, it's bad, but then you're justifying the behavior. You realize that, right? Look, if you do this, you're a pathetic human being. If you commit violence against these drivers, these cars, these dealerships, whatever it is, you're a pathetic human being. You should be in prison. And luckily, the government is going to go after you for it, and they should. They absolutely should. Here's White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt talking about this. Cut 17.
I did some homework for this segment, and I want to start someplace that no one's talking about. What happens if there's someone in one of these cars? They blow up. That can happen. That becomes murder, or worse, terrorism plus. And I know that on January 20th, the president signed through an executive order, restoring the death penalty. Do you think this sort of thing, and I hate to think it, people leave their children and pets in cars. I mean, you don't know. This is deadly, dangerous stuff these liberal protesters are playing with.
Yes, it is, Harris. And what I can tell you is that President Trump condemns this violence, and he is determined to restore law and order in our country. And he will ensure that the harshest penalties are pursued for those who are engaging in this vicious violence that we have seen targeted at this American company, Tesla dealerships, Tesla employees, and also innocent Americans who have chosen to drive these vehicles. Many of them, ironically, are likely Democrats. As you so eloquently pointed out, there is a major double standard here. The Democrats used to be the greatest cheerleaders for electric vehicles and for Tesla, the company, until Elon Musk decided to support and vote for Donald Trump. So the Trump derangement syndrome from the left is on true display with these attacks. It is getting dangerous, and the White House wholeheartedly condemns it. And we applaud Attorney General Pam Bondi for investigating these acts as domestic terrorism, because that is what they are.
Well, if you are doing these acts for political purposes, then she's correct. Under the statute, it rises to domestic terrorism. It's exactly right, because you're doing it for political purposes, and it should be investigated accordingly. And you know, here's the other thing, too. Whether it's this or swatting, which is the other thing, there's been more of these instances of swatting against conservatives and conservative influencers. What you are doing is you are rolling the dice that somebody's going to die here. And while I don't know if the death penalty is really going to be what's going to be used here, what I think in these circumstances is absolutely 100% attempted murder for sure. If you SWAT somebody, absolutely. And if you blow up a Tesla and you kill people, then you need to be charged with murder without question, not manslaughter, but murder, and prosecuted to the highest limit. If your actions are political in nature and they are violent political acts, then they need to be treated accordingly. That's just the bottom line. There's a different standard in our justice system, always has been, when you're dealing with using violence for political purposes. There has to be, because we can't exist, again, as a republic if people use violence for political purposes. The republic cannot endure. That's why we have a long history of treating these things differently. There's a difference between a lunatic throwing a Molotov cocktail at a Tesla because somebody cuts him off on the highway. And I'm not suggesting that that's okay. It's obviously not. But everybody knows there's a difference between that and then throwing Molotov cocktails on Teslas because you're trying to send a political message to Elon Musk and to President Trump and to Doge. They're two distinct things under the eyes of the law. There's a difference between somebody who calls the police and to try to get revenge on their ex-wife or their ex-husband or whoever sends a SWAT team to the house versus somebody who does it because they're trying to effectuate political change by attempting to silence and scare conservatives into complacency and to be quiet because they're worried about getting a SWAT team visit to their house. And political violence, the republic can't endure if that is allowed to occur. So you have to throw the book at people who engage in political violence for that reason. For that reason. And I'm not suggesting that you don't throw the book at people who do those things for other reasons, too. But we've always had a long established understanding in this country that if we're going to be a peaceful constitutional republic, change does not happen because we let people blow up Teslas in the name of sending a message to Elon Musk and the federal government. I mean, the fact that I have to say this, the fact that I even have to explain this to idiots like Jimmy Kimmel is amazing. But here we are. You know, there we are. All right. The Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. It's almost spring break time. So my question for you is this. Are you doing something fun with the kids? If not, think about the Grand Hotel and their spring break package. It's great. The longer you stay, the more you save, and the more you save, and every package includes breakfast. It's a great place to be. And now is the time to start thinking about our first show of the year. June 20th is our first show, Friday, June 20th. So make your reservations now. Go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. All right, continuing along here, lots to get to. So there's a story that I want to get to about Howard Stern. I'm going to do that. But first, I got to play, as we talk about how unpopular the Democrats are right now, Bernie Sanders acknowledging how unpopular his party is. Before we do that, though, today was the, or yesterday, I guess, or this week was the debut of Vince Colanese taking over for Dan Bongino on his national show. Vince is a great guy. I'm very happy for him. And so he had the vice president, J.D. Vance, on his show. And they talked about the difference between how J.D. Vance is doing things as vice president versus Kamala Harris. Cut 22.
And how it's different with each presidency. How are you doing the job differently than Kamala did it?
Well, I don't have, you know, four shots of vodka before every meeting. That's one way I think that Kamala really tried to bring herself into the role is these word salads. And I think that I would need the help of a lot of alcohol to answer a question the way that Kamala Harris answered questions. I mean, look, man,
that's not fair. I'm sorry, Mr. Vice President. That's not fair. That's not fair. Some days were pills. Okay, not every day was vodka. Some days were pills. Some days were Quaaludes or uppers or downers. All right. So, you know, to just say that every day was vodka. I mean, come on. And wine, too. She did. There was wine. There were wine days. There were wine days, pill days and vodka days. So please. All right. Please be respectful and acknowledge the whole spectrum of what the former vice president used to get through her day. All right. OK. Very good. You know, there's a great line from Pulp Fiction. Because people are keying Teslas now. You know, you walk by and you key somebody's car. They don't really, I mean, now we have all these fobs, but a lot of fobs, you know, some people still have keys. But yeah, you key a man's vehicle. And I was reminded of this great scene from the movie Pulp Fiction about this. Remember, John Travolta's all bummed out and he goes out trying to get a little heroin to lift his spirits. Cut 15.
Still got your Malibu?
Oh, man. You know what some did the other day?
What?
Keyed it.
Oh, man. That's
tell me about it. I had it in storage for 3 years. It was out 5 days, and some with it.
They should be killed, man. No trial, no jury, straight to execution.
Boy, I wish I could have caught him doing it. I'd have given anything to catch that doing it. It'd have been worth him doing it, just so I could have caught him doing
what
it. What's more cheap than
with a man's automobile?
I mean, don't with another man's vehicle.
You don't do it.
You don't mess with another man's automobile. All I'm just saying is that's even a harsher sentence than what Pam Bondi's talking about putting in place. So, you know, just keep that in mind, all right? It's very important to keep that in mind right there. So Howard Stern's a fraud. We know that. Work Howard Stern's a fraud. I'll get to that. But Bernie Sanders knows how bad his own party's doing right now for a lot of reasons. Before I get to Bernie, let me just play this clip from President Trump of just why the Democrats lost big time and how they're wrong on every issue. This is part of the interview we did with Laura Ingraham, but it's a clip I didn't get a chance to play. But I think it kind of encapsulates where we're headed here with this. Cut number 9.
Lost big, and you look at what's happening with Schumer, but the Democrats lost big because of the stupidity of, you know, they're backing these 90% negative things from their standpoint. Men and women sports, transgender for everybody, all of this stuff, they're all for it. And, you know, they're still fighting for it. But now they have a new one. We're going to back murderers, killers, and people that hate our country. We're going to back people that hate Israel, want to destroy it. People that are murderers, people that are horrible. We're going to back them. I think that might be a 100% issue for us. They don't ever find an issue that's like a good
politically
issue.
Very helpful.
No, politically. I mean, this is not keeping back in Khalil is not a great issue, but back in Khalil is better than back in these other, you know, hundreds of people that are really serious criminals. It's probably a step better than that.
Yeah, because at least with that case, you're discussing the question of whether or not this is actually a violation of his free speech rights as a permanent legal resident to the United States of America, because they haven't yet proven that he's committed any violence or encouraged other people to commit violence. But look at the left cheering on Tesla. I mean, look at the left cheering on the destruction of Tesla vehicles and all the damage that's being done there, cheering on this political violence in our country. Again, the Republican can't endure if this occurs. And the left just looks freaking nuts, don't they? I mean, you're going after auto workers. I mean, how stupid is this? People, auto workers build Teslas. American auto workers build Teslas, and now you're destroying their, you're trying to destroy their jobs and their company. You want to talk about why the Democrat Party keeps losing? They went from being the party of the auto workers to now being the party that condones people trying to destroy their jobs and their products. That's why the Democrat Party keeps losing. You're talking about American auto workers here. Even Bernie Sanders knows how bad it is for the Democrats right now. Cut number 10.
Overall.
When it comes to that effort in the Senate, do you think Senator Chuck Schumer is the right person to lead it?
It's not. I know everyone's beating up on Chuck, and I strongly disagree with him. Strongly. No one is in the caucus more critical of Schumer than I am. But it's not Schumer. It's the caucus. It's not the caucus. It's the Democratic Party. You got to take a deep breath and understand that you have a Democratic Party. You know, you got a Republican Party, which is owned by Musk. Any Republican who defies Donald Trump will be primaried by Musk, unlimited amounts of money. In the Democratic Party, you've got a party that is heavily dominated by the billionaire class, run by consultants who are way out of touch with reality. It has, the Democratic Party has virtually no grassroots support. So what we are trying to do is, in one way or another, maybe create a party within the party of bringing millions
a
of
party with wait. I want to hear that again. Hang on. A party within the party? Is that a party like a party or a party? A party within the party. Bernie, I got bad news for you, man. This is the party that stopped you from becoming the party's nominee twice, all right? Your party within a party is only going to shrink the Democrat Party even more. I mean, it might be fun, a party within a party. And I'm sure knowing you, you could have it at one of your various mansions, but a party within a party only shrinks your party even more. All right, keep going.
Way out of touch with reality. It has, the Democratic Party has virtually no grassroots support. So what we are trying to do is, in one way or another, maybe create a party within the party of bringing millions of young people, working class people, people of color, to demand that the Democratic Party starts standing with the working class of this country and take on the very powerful corporate interests that have never had it so good.
You've been out on the road hearing that from voters with Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, as you mentioned. People are saying she should primary Schumer. Do you think she'd be a formidable opponent if she did?
I don't want to get that. Look, the issue right now is not worrying about a primary 3 years ago, when 3 years from now, whenever it's going to be. That's media stuff, Caitlin. That's not what people are worried about.
Yeah, you mansplain to her, Bernie. Mansplain to that broad. You tell her what's what. You tell that little CNN hottie what's what, all right? Bernie, I love when Bernie mansplains, don't you? Isn't it great? Matt, do you think he'd invite Caitlyn to his party within a party?
Oh, for sure. Caitlyn's not bad looking. Yeah.
Mm. She's a little manly for my taste, but that's just
fine.
Me. She kind of looks like Scott Presser a little bit.
She doesn't. That is not true.
Well, here, just back it up a little bit to the to any mansplains to Caitlin Collins, who's not getting an invitation to his party within a party. Go ahead.
It's Andrea Ocasio-Cortez, as you mentioned. People are saying she should primary Schumer. Do you think she'd be a formidable opponent if she did?
I don't want to go. Look, the issue right now is not worrying about a primary 3 years ago, when 3 years from now, whenever it's going to be. That's media stuff, Caitlin. That's not what people are worried about.
You silly broad. He should have ended it with that. I feel like Megaphone Birdie should participate in the Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon tomorrow, don't you think?
That'd be pretty cool.
All right. I'm sure there's no shortage of clips we can find right now of him losing his S, losing his you-know-what.
Yeah, it'd be great if he did an interview with MSNBC or CNN tonight.
Well, you know, really he has his own YouTube channel now. Did you know that?
Bernie?
Bernie has a YouTube channel, and he's posting clips now of him just losing his mind.
All right, I'll mine that tonight. I'll make sure we have a nice little lineup for tomorrow.
That would be great. I think that'd be wonderful. That could help get us through what will be a long but fun and very impactful and important day, no doubt about it. He loves mansplaining to the broads. He really does. That's why Bernie loves doing that.
Also, Caitlin Collins' defense, that is kind of what everyone's talking about right now. It's not limited just to CNN or the media, as Bernie Sanders claims. It's coming up frequently at town hall events.
Yeah, Caitlin, why don't you go put on some makeup or your high heels or whatever? That's silly girl talk, all right? Basically what you know he's implying with his mansplaining right there. Silly girl. You're not
invited to my party within a party, just so you understand, okay? With those stupid questions, we're going to invite you because we like the hot chicks, but I think you look like a dude, but you're not coming to my party within a party, Caitlin.
That's pretty, I mean, just rude if you ask me, by Bernie. Rude. You know what I'm trying to do here? Do you see what this is right here? See what this is, Matt?
Some paper? What is that?
This is a foam acoustic board because, you know, I had to move out of my home studio to create another home studio because I can't go up and downstairs.
Oh.
Yeah. And I have not been satisfied with the acoustics, so I've been trying to find ways to isolate the sound more. I got to get Tommy McDonald over here, but in the meantime, and now it's going to be another month because now the cast is off. Ah, damn it. Cast is off, and now I'm in a boot, and I can't walk for another 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know you're bummed out about it, and I understand. Who wants to not be able to walk for 4 weeks? But look on the bright side. By the time you're able to walk, the weather will have turned. It's going to be beautiful outside. It's going to time out perfectly for you. You don't really want to be outside walking around in cold weather and rain anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. But there's no guarantee, though, in 4 weeks. I mean, the doctors feel good, and you know, but we got to get more x-rays in 4 weeks, and then we shall see. So it's not a guarantee that it's only 4 weeks. See what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got some buffer room. As long as you're good by May, I feel like that's when everything turns weather-wise and, you know, it'll be great. So
the goal should be Memorial Day. They said I should be good by June. Oh, my God.
Memorial Day? That's end of May, right?
Yeah.
May 26th?
Yeah, because what happens at 4 weeks, I may be out of the boot. And I may be able to put pressure on the foot, but I still won't be able to drive or anything yet because you can't, like I mentioned, you can't drive in a boot. It's on my right foot, so I can't drive. And I will be in that boot for another several weeks. I mean, this butcher that I went to, who was not affiliated with Cooper originally back in December, this butcher, this awful, terrible doctor, but thank God they saved my foot at Cooper. Dr. Malilli, he's the man. But yeah, no, I can't. I go from this boot to another boot, and then I'll be able to walk on that boot, hopefully, in 4 weeks. Hopefully, I can walk, but I still can't drive.
Yeah, the no driving thing is rough. And not even just for you, but who's ever driving you. Because, I mean, I drove when we went to D.C., and for the audience, Rich just kept telling me to pull over to go to a cheeseburger restaurant that didn't even exist.
That, well, that's that. Okay, that's on me, but that's really on Google Maps more than anything. If you, you know,
for 15 minutes, he just kept building up how great this cheeseburger restaurant was, according to Google reviews. And then we get there, it's not a thing. It's gone.
I know. I was looking for beef tallow. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. My wife hates driving with me too because I'm the ultimate. I'm a guy and I'm an alpha male, so I'm constantly like, you know, you're going too fast. Slow down. Get in the right lane. Go around this jerk. What are you doing? She hates it. She says to me every day when she has to drive, she's like, I can't wait till you can drive again. I know.
I don't blame her. I don't blame her one bit. I had one experience and that was enough.
Yeah. I mean, even today we're driving on 38. She's driving me to the doctor's office and I'm like, can you get around this guy, please? This guy's an idiot. Move over, get around him. That's why God made a left lane. She's like, oh my God, would you calm down?
She should just throw you in the trunk or something.
Yeah, that would probably be easier for her, honestly, at this point, telling you. And then I bring this friggin' scooter around wherever we go. So I put the scooter in the back of the car, and then I open up the car, and I get the scooter out, and I scoot around. You know, the nice thing is that people are very nice to you when they see you coming with a scooter. The world opens up to you. The world's your oyster. So even when this thing's all over, I still may just scoot around, you know? Just saying. So... But tomorrow at the Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon, I'll be scooting up and down the hallway as a PhD. But, you know.
Oh, that's exciting. I haven't seen the scooter yet. You kind of, like, muscled through the D.C. trip.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to for that. I didn't want to deal with bringing a scooter into the White House. Call me crazy.
That was the other thing. You kept walking. We walked back from the White House to the hotel, I believe. I kept telling you, let's just get an Uber so you don't have to walk four blocks or whatever.
Well, that was pre-cast. That was before the cast, true. And I thought I could, you know. But yeah, we probably did too. Shh, don't say that out loud. Dr. Lilly might be listening. So everything that guy just said is bull, thank your honor. All right?
Honestly, if I'm being honest, I mostly wanted to Uber back because I was cold. I cared about your foot, but I was freezing.
Yeah, it was freezing. All right, we got a lot more to get to. Tom Homan says the deportations will continue. These leftist judges don't stop. And yes, Howard Stern is the fraud we know him to be. It is the 5 o'clock hour here on the show. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Weigh in on our YouTube chat. We are streaming live on YouTube. Just go to the 1210 WPHD YouTube page, and we'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the thing about it is that the question of the day today becomes, what do we do with these judges? What do we do with these federal judges? And we're going to talk about that as well. Howard Stern is a joke. And I'm guessing if I had to, when we played that clip from Pulp Fiction, Justin, I know you've seen Pulp Fiction, right? Justin?
Sorry, Justin. We're trying to do math for your next hour.
You do the math and just text me when you can. Chat.
Justin has seen Pulp Fiction.
You have not seen Pulp Fiction, though, DeSantis, have you?
I have seen it before you say anything snarky. I've seen Pulp Fiction, yes. Although I will concede it is not my favorite Quentin Tarantino movie. I don't think it's bad or anything, but it's not in my top, three or four.
Okay.
What is your favorite Tarantino movie? I'm curious.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I love that movie. It's just, that's in my top three all time, just period. Tarantino or not. It's a great film.
And what do you think of that, Justin?
It's all right. I mean, it's not the worst thing I've heard him say this week. So it's something.
That's great. That's not the worst thing I've heard him say this week. It's a good movie. It's good. I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio, he's great in it, right? Brad Pitt. Yeah. Margot Robbie. So,
Inglourious Bastards also better, I think.
Not better than Pulp Fiction, but it's a good movie.
Reservoir Dogs also arguably better.
I would say that's second best behind Pulp Fiction. Reservoir Dogs, great. And then I like all the Kill Bill movies. And then I think you get into like Django Unchained and The Hateful Eight, and you get into all that, you know.
Yeah, those aren't so great. Django's not bad.
It's okay. I mean, Hateful Eight is long. It's freaking long. Oh, my God. It never ends. It goes on for... It's real. I mean, I saw it in theaters. I saw it in 70mm theater because I'm such a movie nerd, but it's a long movie. But Pulp Fiction's the kind of movie, and same with Reservoir Dogs, if it's on, you can easily watch it. You'll just start watching it. You know what I mean? That's the standard. That's a test right there.
I feel like, speaking of Reservoir Dogs, that is like a 90-minute movie, and I wish Hollywood would go back to those. I don't need the three-hour films anymore. They're getting out of control.
Yeah, and I'm worried because they're saying the new Superman movie runtime is about, it could be close to 3 hours, they're saying.
Ugh.
Which is, yeah, I know.
I don't want to, honestly, I don't really want to sit in a movie theater for more than 2 hours max. If you go 2:15 and the movie's good and it's moving, that's fine, but they need better editors.
It's, yeah, my time is precious, you know what I mean? My time is precious. Well, we'll have plenty of time because we're not going to be seeing the Snow White movie. Did you get me a dwarf, by the way?
No.
Get me a dwarf.
I don't know how to go about that.
In the article you sent me is an organization about the little people that are organizing the boycott. Can you just get me one of the, just reach out to the people of the organization and say, is anybody come on the show?
Well, you have to refer.
Why do I have to tell you how to be a producer? This is your job.
I didn't know you were serious. I didn't know you wanted a
what does,
from
I texted you this morning. I said, get me a dwarf.
All right.
What did you, what does that mean?
Exclamation points. That looked funny to me. I laughed at it. I said, ha ha ha. And then I moved on with my day. I didn't know you were serious.
Oh, my God.
No!
The little people are speaking out because they were passed over by Disney in the name of political correctness, and they don't have jobs. And so Disney went with these dumb CGI-looking dwarf people, village people, little things that look like garden gnomes that you buy at a hardware store. And the little people are upset because these are jobs that they could take as actors. And so they're boycotting this, and they have an organization behind this, and I want to hear from a dwarf.
All right, well, I'll work on it for Monday. The movie comes out tomorrow. I don't really think we should have someone from the Little People organization on the show tomorrow. It doesn't make sense programming-wise.
Unless you want to do dwarf tossing as part of raising money for the Travis Manning Foundation, but otherwise,
see, it's comments like that that make me hesitant to book anyone.
First of all, there are people that make their money being tossed as dwarfs. What? That's their job. That's their chosen profession. Why should I stand in the way of that like Maisie Hirono did?
Well, I'll let you take it up with Maisie.
I won't bring up dwarf tossing if you get me a dwarf, okay?
You got to refer to the organization of little people properly. Otherwise, they're not going to come on the show.
All right, fine. Just whatever politically correct nomenclature you want to use. And actually, what we should do really is we should ask Congressman, what's his name, for the proper way to address these individuals.
Hank, our dear friend, Hank Johnson.
Yeah. As you pull that up for me, I just want to mention that Gal Gadot, who is an Israeli-born actress, who is in the new dumb Snow White movie that's going to be a big box office flop by Disney, said she has tried to stay silent about politics, but she couldn't hold back anymore after the October 7th terrorist attack in Israel, the massacre in which terrorist group Hamas and Gaza residents slaughtered over 1,220 Israelis. She said, I could not be silent. She said to Variety, there is a challenge for people to speak on social media because there is so much hate going on and so many bots and so many angry people that are looking for a cause. Pat Callahan's not a bot, Gal Gadot. He just looks like one because he doesn't have a profile picture. All right. Just pointing that out in case you're talking about him. Who cares about the celebrity talking about politics? Gal Gadot said, who has served in the Israeli Defense Forces. She said, I'm an artist. I want to entertain people. I want to bring hope and be a beacon of light whenever I say anything about the world. First of all, I admire that because, again, who does care about celebrities talking about politics? Nobody. I agree. But she said on October 7th, when people were abducted from their homes, from their beds, men, women, children, elderly, Holocaust survivors were going through the horrors of what happened that day. I could not be silent, she said. I was shocked by the amount of hate, by the amount of how much people think they know what they actually have no idea, and also by how the media is not fair many times, so I had to speak up. The Wonder Woman actress continued and said, I'm not a hater. I'm a grandchild of a Holocaust survivor who came to Israel and established his family from scratch after his entire family was erased in Auschwitz. And on the other side of my family, I'm eighth generation Israeli. I'm an indigenous person of Israel. I am all about humanity, and I felt like I had to advocate for the hostages. When your compass is clear, your conscience is clean. I know what I'm advocating for, and I know what I wish for the world. I am praying for better days for all. I want everybody to have a good life and prosperity and the ability to raise their children in a safe environment. She was honored at the Hollywood Walk of Fame this past week, but the festivities were delayed for 15 minutes when pro-Palestinian activists made enough trouble that police were called in. On March 4th, speaking at the Anti-Defamation League's annual summit, Gal Gadot stated, "Never did I imagine that on the streets of the United States and different cities around the world, we would see people not condemning Hamas, but celebrating, justifying, and cheering on a massacre of Jews." Here's the thing. However much you tried to avoid it before, even if speaking up wasn't really your thing, none of us can ignore the explosion of Jew hatred around the world anymore. My name is Gal, and I'm Jewish, and we've had enough of Jew hatred. On October 7th, Jewish women were sexually terrorized, raped, murdered, and kidnapped by Hamas. We were all listening, hoping to hear support from our sisters around the world, and too often heard silence. We can't wait any longer. We can't hold our breaths and pray or beg from support for people, groups, communities that don't want to be there for us. We need to be there for ourselves. The day of the October 7th massacre, actress Gal Gadot wrote on Instagram, "At least 250 Israelis have been murdered and dozens of women, children, elders held as hostages in Gaza by Palestinian military group Hamas. Starting early morning, more than 3,000 rockets were fired. Hamas is holding hostages, controlling bases and settlements in Israel. There have been more than 1,500 injured, and heavy fighting is still ongoing. I hear their voices, and they are banging on the door. I am with my two little children. My heart is aching, praying for all those in pain." So I'm just pointing out to you again that, you know, Hollywood could be a messed up place, no doubt about it, but she's good people. Her co-actress in the movie, the woman who plays Snow White, is a pro-Palestinian kook bag. I'm not seeing the movie because I have no interest in seeing the movie. It looks stupid. It looks dumb. But again, a reason not to boycott what Gal Gadot just said. You know, if you're boycotting it because of the other actress and her comments on Palestine, think about what Gal Gadot just said and you realize that, so is it fair to her? No. See the movie if you want to. Don't see it if you don't want to, based on whether it's a good movie, is my advice. But, you know, you do as you have. Rachel Zegler, a little nutbag. All right, big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, and make sure that you do that. All right, so I can go a couple more minutes here? All right, good. That's it, and that's a key point of this. But this movie's going to bomb anyway. Have they posted the Rotten Tomatoes score yet, Max, since you said it opens tomorrow?
Finally. So Disney was actually preventing film reviewers from seeing the movie, which is always a bad sign.
Yeah.
It's at 46% right now on the tomato meter.
Wow. Telling you. That's it. But the big part of this, the big reason I'm telling you right now, is because this is a pre-Trump woke era movie. And what they did to the little people to the dwarfs. What am I supposed to say? What's the proper thing to say? I don't know.
Little people.
What they did to them was wrong. So they first cast people who weren't little, and then they erased them and put in CGI, all in the name of political correctness. And they had this wacky actress out there saying all her wacky things about white men and everything else. And so, and it's not going to be a good movie. And that's the bottom line. So there you go. Save your money. Sorry, Gal Gadot. As much as I love you as Wonder Woman, I can't see this movie. I'd rather take my head and beat it up against. And she's a great Wonder Woman, by the way, Gal Gadot. I mean, phenomenal. The only good thing about the whole dumb Batman versus Superman and Justice League and those terrible movies was Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. The only saving grace. Because Ben Affleck, here I go. Ben Affleck, of course, ruined the Justice League, ruined Batman, ruined Superman, ruined all of it. All of it. And Gal Gadot kind of saves it a little bit, but still, I mean, there's a lot of destruction that man has caused. God, he's the worst.
He's not that bad.
The worst. Mel Gibson may run for governor of California. You see that?
He says he's not, but according to polling, he would be the front runner of all the prospective Republican nominees right now. Which would be.
He should think about it. I mean, he should think about it. You know, they have a thing about electing immigrants, first of all, as governor, like Schwarzenegger. He should think about it.
So according to overall polling, though, he's behind Kamala Harris and also behind that former congresswoman whose name escapes me at the moment. She ran for Senate and got smashed by Adam Schiff. Katie Porter, that's her name.
Katie Porter.
The disciple of Elizabeth Warren.
Well, I guess, you know, the question is, can a Republican win California? And I don't know. I mean, it would take a lot to change that, certainly. But for right now, the immediate thing is Jersey and winning New Jersey and trying to flip that state red, which can absolutely 100% happen. No doubt about that. So that's the good news right there. All right. We got to talk about the courts. I just wanted to mention that the situation with these judges, and I want to play a quick clip for you regarding the situation. This is now from Caroline Leavitt talking about these judges and how crazy these judges are. I just now, for some reason, just lost the show sheet. You have that clip, Matt?
It's cut four.
All right, cut. This is Caroline Leavitt, White House Press Secretary, cut number four.
We are 100% confident that we've complied. And as I said from the podium and will continue to say, all of the flights that were subject to the written order of the judge took off before the written order was pushed in the courtroom. And the president is well within his article or his Article 2 power and his authority under the Alien Enemies Act to make these decisions. And we think it's egregious that a single district judge is trying to tell the president of the United States who he can and cannot deport from our soil, especially when it comes to designated foreign terrorists.
Exactly right. And as I went through in the opening of the show today, and go back and listen to in the Odyssey Rewind or the podcast, why he's doing the right thing here by fighting this out in court. Okay, so if you didn't hear what I had to say on that, you definitely should earlier in the show today. I think he's playing it right. He's playing it smart. He's thinking long term about the health of the Republic and saving the Republic from these left wing activist judges. Trust him on this. He's right on this. He's right. Here's J.D. Vance, the vice president, ripping these left-wing activist judges. Cut number three.
We have an appeals process. I think the president's been very clear. He's going to respect that process. He's going to take his case all the way to the Supreme Court, or I guess his cases all the way to the Supreme Court. And he, you know, I will say that I think the Chief Justice and other judges or justices on the Supreme Court, like, this is a real opportunity to actually set proper boundaries for both Yep. the courts, but also the executive. Mm-hmm. You can't have a judge who's controlling troop deployments. You can't have a judge who's controlling how we enforce our immigration laws. You know, the American people actually invested the president of the United States with some of these core law enforcement authorities, and the president has to be able to do the job the American people elected him to do. I think what you're seeing really is judicial overreach on a scale we've never seen in the history of this country. And I think the Supreme Court has got to put a stop to it. We're actually going to, you know, we're of course going to make those arguments to the justice of the Supreme Court. I think that we're going to win, but we can't let rogue judges tell the president how to conduct the people's business. And you know, Vince, there's another element of this that I don't think anybody has really picked up on, but it's really important. Like if you think of the courts, right, to get access to the courts, let's be honest, that's mostly for, you know, people filing lawsuits. You got to have money to do that stuff. You've got to have money to hire fancy lawyers in civil suits. You know, the way that most normal people, they're not filing lawsuits when they want to accomplish something in their government. They vote. They vote for their legislators and they vote for their president. So if we allow basically a bunch of rich lawyers to run the government, but we don't allow normal people who voted for a president to see their government run the way they see fit, then I think what we're really doing is we're not just turning over the power of the government to rogue judges. We're actually depriving the American people of their God-given right to control their government. Yeah. And it's really a fundamental violation of how the American system was set up.
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. And what he said there at the beginning, which is echoes exactly what I said in the first hour of the show. This is an opportunity for us to restore the balance and to save our Constitution and to realign the judiciary and the executive. They're playing it smart here. Okay. Ignoring the judges is not the long-term play. And I applaud the president. I applaud the vice president. They are playing this exactly right. Exactly right. All right. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, no more email signatures, no more pronouns on the email signature. That's a good thing. The president abolishing the Department of Education today. A huge, huge, big win for the people, for the states, and for the children. But look, I'll tell you what, I'm excited for summer coming up. I really am. And you know I love the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I love it so much. Again, the dates for our live shows, Friday, June 20th, Friday, August 15th, Halloween, and Friday, December 19th. Never too early to make your reservations there, especially those summer shows, because the summer always sells out. But spring break and Easter right around the corner. So you got to start thinking about your Easter kids spring break getaway. And at the Grand Hotel, available from April 13th through the 24th, is an amazing way for you to get away, enjoy the beautiful weather before the crowds get there, but the weather's still nice enough to get outside and enjoy it. But you have the heated indoor pool and Hemingway's restaurant right on site. The longer you stay, the more you save, and breakfast is included in all the packages because, you know, the kids love breakfast, and they're really generous with their portions there at the Grand Hotel. So if you stay two nights, you're going to save 5%. 5%, three or four nights gets you 10% off, and five nights or more gets you 15%. And again, all the packages include breakfast. The kids will love the pool. They'll love the fact that the arcades are starting to open. I mean, the arcades will be open. The mini golf, so many fun things to do. You can take them to the Cape May County Zoo. You can do lots of fun things on spring break versus them just being home on devices all day and driving you crazy, right? So make your reservation today by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com and book the spring break getaway package today.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.